This is the Friday, October 20th, 2017 version of the Market Plus segment. Joining us now is Darren Newsome. Darren, welcome back.
Thank you, Mike.
Now, well, we've got a number of great questions, but I need to circle back to something we missed on the show, which was the cotton market. Okay. We saw it drop $1.70 and change this week. What's going on? From a technical perspective, what are you watching here in cotton?
Cotton market, from a technical perspective, just doesn't look good. I mean, its charts are breaking down. We've seen some commercial pressure come into this market, and that really seems to be what's stumping most of the folks who are actually in the cotton market is, you know, where is this bearishness coming from? Because, yeah, we know USDA is bearish, but that doesn't make, I mean, really, in the grand scheme of things, that doesn't make any difference. But, I mean, the reality is we had so many hurricanes move through. The crop was damaged. We've had decent exports. You know, unless this is a miracle crop, you know, and we're actually going to see the huge production and we're not going to see the type of demand that, that folks are anticipating right now, you know, that would really be the only only real reason why we're seeing such pressure on the cotton market. I don't look for it to, you know, to end anytime soon because once you get a market on the run, it's hard to get it to stop. So I would anticipate the next few weeks going to continue to see some pressure both from both sides of the market.
All right. Now, our first question from one of our Twitter followers. This is from Nathan in Inwood, Iowa, at Neuendorp_N. He wants to know, are there days ahead when I will be able to get excited about more than half a cent higher in the corn market?
Well, not for a while. I mean, it's just hard. I mean, the volatility in the corn market just continues to come down. There's just nobody interested in this market. And I mean, we finally see a day like Friday when, and going into the day, you could kind of see that we were going to get a bigger move. We had increased overnight volume in the December contract. And so that kind of hinted at we were going to see more activity on Friday. Came down, volatility bumped up a little bit, but still volatility is so very low. Honestly, as ridiculous as it is, the only day when we see, I mean, outside of an occasional Friday, the only time we ever see a sizable move is with the USDA report. So they're not good for anything else, but if you want volatility and if you want an actual price range, that might cause it.
And that leads us right into our next question. This is from Ben in Jessup, Iowa, at Ben Rinchie on Twitter. Ben wants to know, you refer to the electronic traders, the computer traders as Watson, and he says the speculative traders are amiss with so little volatility to trade in the grains. In your words, Darren, will Watson leave the market?
In my words, Watson has left the building. I mean, and that's why we have such low volatility.
So we're looking at it backwards.
Yeah.
Ben and I, we're going, well, there's no volatility. They won't trade it.
Right.
They're not trading it. That's why there's
no volatility. Exactly. And you know, it comes back to what we talked about during the show. Funds need, and even the computer funds need, a fundamental reason to get into a market. And, I mean, we can go across sectors. We can go across, you know, the softs. We can look at the grains. We can look at the livestock to a certain degree, metals and energies. There isn't one market that really just jumps out and says, you know, this is a tight supply and demand situation. And so for that reason, I mean, they're watching the stock market. You mentioned it in the show. Go across 23,000. Why move your money into commodities when you can put it over into the equity markets? And it's not just the U.S. equities, it's global equities are all screaming higher, and play there. And so there's just there's no reason. And now the dollar's starting to heat up again. We've got congressmen and senators saying that we're going to see some sort of work on the taxes being done now. I don't know, we'll see. But all this boosted up the dollar, and that's not going to be good for commodities, and there's just really no reason for funds to get interested.
Is there, I mean, given the carryouts published by the USDA, or even, Darren, just given the bearishness in the spreads in the market indicate that we've got plenty of grain on hand across the board, is there anything that can spark this story? I mean, are we at a point in 2018 where we just might not even see a planting rally due to weather concerns? Because, you know, what are we worried about? We saw so many old crop corn bushels come in September 1st through September 15th. We're still sitting on a pile of grain.
If these crops, corn and soybeans, turn out to be as big as what some are projecting them to be, why would we ever see a planting rally again? I mean, we had nothing but wet weather all spring in 2017. Why would we get a dry weather scare? Because we had that all summer long. Yeah. And if we're still looking at the possibility of record production in soybeans and still one of the five largest, I think it's actually the second or third largest crop of corn, we're not going to get those types of moves. Again, we're not going to get the money coming in to these markets to push them higher. It's going to have to be proven that there's actual damage and that we've actually got a supply and demand situation that's tightening up. And all you got to do is look at the spreads and see that's not happening anytime soon.
All right. Now, our production team is going to hate me because I'm changing up the order of the questions. And I want to jump down to Roger's question next. And so, Roger, I'm going to lay this out.
Okay.
He's written an essay for us. Roger, we appreciate it. This is Roger in Kokomo, Indiana from Facebook. He says, I've made the decision to get off the DP, delayed pricing, train, and get on the futures train to retain my ownership of my bushels I can't store on the farm this year. I look at it this way. It cost me 18 cents to put corn on DP. The basis at his local elevator is 16 under, and it cost a penny to execute the futures contract. He figures he's re-owned his corn at zero basis. My question is, should I buy December and roll to March or just buy in March? Will the spread pay enough to fool with that?
Well, if he's narrowed it down to the decent March, you're probably going to have, if you buy in the December, you've only got about a month left before you're going to have to roll the contract, and you're going to have to roll the contract at a pretty large carry. Now, that carry's only going to get wider because that spread's in a downtrend. So it would say you probably want to buy the March. Again, if you're looking at a situation where you're going to re-own your cash on futures, that's it. Mm-hmm. Probably go on out to the March. There's not a lot of time there seasonally for the market to move. We don't see the bigger part of the move until we get through the April to June time frame is when we usually see the bulk of the rally in corn. Again, that planting early summer's season. So, you're kind of rolling the dice here a little bit. You're not going to be able to take advantage of any basis appreciation by re-owning in futures. But, if you want to re-own, you're looking at a couple factors here. Corn's about as low as it's been over the last 5 years. We talked about how it's pressing its lows and holding them right now. There's the opportunity that this market could turn around just because it's so cheap.
If you're looking just December or March as your two options, mm-hmm. if that's when you typically sell the cash that you would have put on DP, would you look at futures or, given the low volatility and the shorter time frame, would you look at an option?
You could look at the options because, again, volatility is very low, and the short time frame means you're not going to pay a lot of time value at all. The problem would be is if you get a 30-cent rally in the futures market, you might get 16, 20 cents out of it in the futures. So, minus what you had to pay for an option premium. So that turns a lot of folks off the options. Probably not a bad play because, again, volatility is so incredibly cheap, a little less risky from a margin point of view. Let's say you can get out there and buy 3 or 4 cents, 4 or 5 cents worth of options going out through March. Might not be that bad a play. But, again, if we're just looking at re-owning, we have to keep in mind we're not going to get any of the basis appreciation that we might see in either futures or options.
Right. All right. Our next question, taking us over into the wheat market. Dan in Grantville, Kansas, on Twitter at Dan Begum, wants to know, what are you more bearish going forward, Darren, wheat or the Royals?
Well, quite honestly, probably has to be the Royals. we talked about wheat in the show, how it's flattened out in here, and it looks like it could try to find some buying interest for whatever reason. As for the Royals, their core players, they've got a group of about 4 to 6 players, some of their core group that are all up for free agency, and the Royals aren't a big market team. They're probably going to lose some of those players. So could be a little bleak going into, or a little unknown going into 2018. But wheat, I still think we've put in a long-term low. I think the market wants to try to go up, again, for whatever reason. It looks like we've got some demand coming in. If we can keep that going, if the dollar doesn't kill the wheat market, then, I think wheat's got a chance.
Okay. Final question for you. Paul in Iowa at Northeast Iowa Farmer on Twitter says, I'm storing corn and selling carry to July. Mm-hmm. With low volatility, is now the time to be buying July calls to cover the upside?
Yeah, that's not a bad play. Basically what that is it creates a synthetic put. And again, because of low volatility, could work out very well. You've got it hedged out in the July. You're taking advantage of the carry all the way out through there. If the market does decide to rally, like we've seen the last 3 years, your call's going to appreciate. Not all, like we talked about with the previous question, but it's going to appreciate. So again, you're basically putting on a synthetic put, using the carry in the market, low volatility in the market, the idea that we could be about as low as we're going to go for a while, not a bad strategy.
All right. Well, Darren Newsom, thank you so much for taking the time to answer our questions.
I appreciate it. Thanks, Mike.
And folks, our drought continues, but hopefully we've got some rock stars at Hawkeye Community College that are going to help us out, answer, and send us in some questions they've got, but we want more. If you've got questions on the basics of trading or trends in the marketplace, send us an email at markettomarket@iptv.org or direct message us on Twitter, and we'll get you the details as to how you can get your questions featured on Market Plus. Now, Darren, thanks again for joining us this week. Always appreciate it. And join us again next week when we'll look in on farmers facing a deadline over buffer strips, and Ted Seifert will sit across from me at the market-to-market table. Until then, thanks for watching or listening. I'm Mike Pearson. Have a great week.